How do you find clean, natural, and renewable energy to power the world? That's something scientists, businesses, and innovators have been grappling with for decades. Susan Petty, President and Chief Technology Officer for Seattle-based Altaroc, thinks geothermal energy could be the solution. Altaroc has been developing technology to harness energy from hot rocks under the Earth's surface. Ross Reynolds sat down with Susan Petty this week. She explained just how you get geothermal energy out of the ground.
Up till recently, geothermal energy has been a way to get heat out of the ground by drilling down into natural circulating fractures or pores in the earth that have hot water in them. And we do that by exploring for the occurrence of these things and then drilling into them. And then we can take that hot water out. We can use it to make electricity, but we can also use it for heating and cooling, for industrial process heat, and for other things. In any case, we take the heat out and then put it back in again to pick the heat up again.
Anyone who's seen Old Faithful knows what hot water is under the ground.
Under the ground some places.
Now, some people have compared it to fracking, which we've heard a lot about it. That means drilling into the ground and you inject fluid to fracture shallow rocks and release natural gas. Is what you're doing geothermal fracking?
You know, people say that, but no. So the pressures and the chemicals that are used in fracking really make the rock fail. They break it down, they jack the fracture open, and then they prop it open with proppants, usually sand-type proppants. We don't want that result in geothermal because a big open crack would result in a easy path, almost a railway train ride for that coal water we inject back in the ground back to the producers, and it wouldn't have time to heat up. So what we want is a bunch of little cracks, and we've found that we can make that bunch of little cracks through a process that requires less pressure, and we just inject cold water. So it relies on the pressure difference between the natural tectonic stresses on the rock and what's needed to get those little tiny fractures to just open up and move a little bit.
Does it take a lot of water to do this kind of hydro-shearing geothermal?
It can take a fair amount of water. The amount of water, for instance, at our Newbury project that we injected to create a pretty big reservoir with about 1.5 cubic kilometers of fractured volume was about 11 million gallons. Now, that seems like a lot, but it's less than what the city of Bend uses on a summer day.
You mentioned Newbury. Where is it?
Newbury is a project in Oregon that we have. It has some funding from the Department of Energy to help us do that, about 50% funding. And that project is on the side of Newbury Volcano, which is a volcano in south central Oregon.
Now, one of the problems with wind technology to generate power and solar technology is sometimes the wind doesn't blow and the sun doesn't shine. Are you able to get continuous energy coming from geothermal?
Yes, the availability, that's the amount of time that the power plant is online, for geothermal is extremely high. Natural geothermal systems with geothermal power plants operate more than 95% of the time. That's far better than nuclear, coal, any of those things.
Now, the trick about generating energy is how much energy it takes to generate the energy. So when it comes to your geothermal method, how efficient is it?
Well, that's the one thing about geothermal. We can use temperatures to generate heat down to pretty low temperatures. So there are projects that have temperatures as low as 80 degrees C for the inlet. But that's not very efficient. So the hotter it is, the more efficient the method is. However, when you look at it, you're actually putting the water with that remaining heat back in the earth to pick up more heat. So we don't waste it the way you might with a coal plant where you exhaust really hot gases. With wind and solar, obviously, there's no waste, but it does take a lot of land at an area to generate the power that they do.
How much energy, say if you're generating 10 units of this geothermal energy, how many units of energy does it take to create those 10 units of
geothermal? To create it, probably about a tenth of that. 10 to 20% is what we call parasitic load, where it is the things that it takes to run that project.
What does it look like when you look at one of your geothermal hydro shearing facilities? I imagine there's a big drill. Does it take up a lot of space?
Well, no. And in fact, there isn't a big drill.
Oh, no.
So the only thing on the surface when we do this is a wellhead, which consists of two big valves and some pipes. And we have the pumps that we pump the water down the well. We don't have any kind of big towering drill rig on the site. We only have that when we're drilling the well. And it's there for maybe 60 days and then goes away. Then when the power plant is built, it's actually pretty low profile. Our project site is about 5 acres. We think we could probably get a 50-megawatt power plant on that site. And all the wells would be located, their tops would all be located on that 5-acre pad. But there are portions that go down beneath the surface of the earth. They can spread out all over the place through directional drilling, and we can reach a lot of hot rock.
Is it economically viable? You mentioned you've got one project up and running. Are you making money?
Well, Altarock is starting to make money. We're not cash flow positive yet, but we are getting close. And every year we make more. So we're really hoping to get to the point where we're making a significant amount of money pretty soon.
You think there have been enough studies done on the effects of these geothermal wells to ensure that they're safe?
I think that we need to do more than that, more than has been done. I think that's always important to do. There are concerns around two things mainly. One is what we call induced seismicity, and that's earthquakes that people make through their activities.
So this can generate an earthquake?
Well, not really.
Okay.
It can generate a tiny seismic event. But a couple of the projects have actually injected into big faults. A project in Switzerland did, and they had a seismic event, not very big, 3.6 magnitude, but people could definitely feel it, and it rattled the windows. And in a medieval city like Basel, Switzerland, there was some damage.
Well, some of those folks down in Oregon, too, I understand, are a little concerned about this around Bend. There have been some little tremblers that attributed to this kind of geothermal energy. What do you say to the critics who go, oh, this, we don't want the earth to shake?
Well, here's the thing. The events that we created definitely are visible on seismometers, but they certainly aren't anything that people can feel. No one could feel them. And, you know, we've done a really, really thorough job of monitoring them. We have instrumentation on the surface that monitors the acceleration of the surface of the earth. And we have instrumentation in boreholes that maps where these tiny events occur. For instance, we have a surface monitor station at Lapine High School in the nearest populated place to our project.
This is the one in Oregon.
The one in Oregon. And that seismometer felt trains much more than it felt. And we couldn't even see our seismicity. And the trains were clearly visible as shaking on the seismometer. So the tiny events that we create really don't make it to the surface.
Is the one that you're working on in Oregon generating power now for homes in the area?
Not yet. No, we're still working on that. It's a process. And the project at this point is just scheduled to have the circulating hot water and demonstrate that we can do that. We can't really apply for a permit to build a power plant until we know that this will work. So we're at the stage now. This summer, we're doing some more stimulation to make more fractures through more hydro shearing. If that is successful, then we'll drill a production well into those fractures next summer, and then we'll do a circulation test. And that will end this phase of the project. With that data, though, we could go to raise money to build a power plant and a transmission line to get the power out.
Susan Petty, president of Altarock, she spoke to Ross Reynolds. Petty says her company hopes to open plants in Washington State soon. Altarock is leasing two potential sites near Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier.